Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint Dialogues, a weekly podcast where we focus on the big questions in personal finance and investing. The podcast is a Mint production and is available on hdsmartcast.com. India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Mint Dialogues podcast. We have a very interesting topic to discuss today, which is inheritance tax, which means levying tax on property and money acquired by inheritance. It was abolished in India many years ago in 1985, as the benefits accruing from the tax is negative. To discuss about the merits of the tax and the case to reintroduce it, we have with us Nikhil Kamath, the co-founder of Zerodha, who is very vocal about it. Hi, Nikhil.
Hi, Satya.
You think inherited wealth has been at the root of economic inequality? Can you share your views on it first?
Yeah, sure. I think as you know, we've evolved over time. You know, we've moved in one way or another from socialism to capitalism, and while capitalism has its flaws and wealth disparity has risen to where it is today, I think most would agree that in our experience, it has been a better form of governance than what we experienced in, you know, like maybe the 1930s or 40s or in certain places, even as late as the 50s or 60s. I think predicated wealth transferred from one generation to another has to have some kind of a filter in there wherein the wealth can be, a part of that wealth can be redistributed in society. There is plenty of precedent for inheritance tax, and we know how it has done well in many geographies. You know, South Korea has it, America has it, and in the UK you have it. We call it estate taxes. For a country like India, where, you know, maybe 3% of the population pays income tax, and the wealth is not necessarily with that 3% alone. It's with a much broader diaspora of the population. Something like an inheritance tax will bring more people under the tax net, especially for people who are extremely affluent. You know, when they pay inheritance tax, it will give the government a certain amount of gunpowder to go out and, you know, do the reforms which are necessary in society today. Also showed up things like our infra, which have, you know, which require a lot of money. And I think this could be one good means in which the government could gain a certain amount of revenue. The good thing about inheritance tax, in my mind, is you don't pay it every year. You pay it once in your life. So the processes around it do not have to be as complicated as many of the other taxes we levy today. And it wouldn't work as much of a disincentive as income tax. Like if you were to increase income tax from the current 43% to 60%, one could argue that people would be disincentivized to, you know, have capex, go out and grow. But since it's a one-time tax, this might make more sense than the other.
Earlier, this tax was abolished because it was the benefits from taxing it is negative. Why do you think that will not repeat now? And do you think the consequences of having this tax in place, the moral consequences, is more beneficial than just the revenue part?
Well, earlier, I don't remember the exact year in which India had inheritance taxes. I'm guessing it was the 70s or 80s. I think it's a different India today. India has truly only opened up in the 90s, and the kind of wealth creation we have witnessed in the last 30 years is extraordinary in India. If a side effect of having a tax like this, the inheritance tax has to be levied on properties, right? Like if you are giving away your house or whatever property to your kids, it has to apply on that as well. A lot of the ill-gotten wealth in India finds its way into property. It percolates down from different pockets, but a lot of it is in property. You know, if that were to be taxed, I feel like that taxable population number will go up from 3% to a significantly higher number. And the corpus that one could collect through that, I think, would be significant. You know, add to that, you know, remove the farm loan, the farm tax, whatever income you pay on, you get on farming income, you don't pay tax today. If you were to waive that off for, say, farmers who earn more than 1 crore a year, for example, and we actually truly broaden the tax base in India from 3% to a significantly higher number, I think the big benefit from here is everybody would pay lesser amount of tax in terms of the rate that they pay, but a lot more people would pay tax. The higher you tax somebody, you kind of like incentivize tax evasion. History has taught us this. I think it was Richard Nixon who did this experiment where he tweaked the tax rates around. He put it at 40 and saw what happened. He put it at 50 and then 30 and 20. And at about 20%, he realized that a lot more people pay tax. The incentive to evade goes down significantly. And that in turn kind of increases the overall corpus of tax collected. So if the effect of having inheritance tax, waiving off farm tax, waiver beyond a certain cap, taxing properties in a more efficient manner, you know, for example, property tax in India are like a few basis points, right? Like in the West, it's significantly higher. Even in Southeast Asia, it's significantly higher. If you were to do all these things, I think the Indian government would truly have a lot more resources at hand, and it will be able to rationalize the tax rate, which in some cases is ridiculous today. If I were to give you an example of a promoter-led corporation in India today, you pay 25% tax on the top. If a company makes 100 rupees in profit, let's say one promoter owns the company, and when the promoter takes that money post paying that 25%, he pays dividend distribution of 43% again. So you pay 25% and an additional 43% on the balance 75%, which brings your tax rate to about 53%. When you start taxing these promoters at 53%, you're kind of, you know, nudging them to evade, and you know a lot more of that will happen in society. And I think the only solution to this in my mind is get more people to pay tax and pay a more reasonable level of
Understand.
tax.
But in India, we think that inheritance tax is in the form of capital gains tax. You know, the cost of acquisition for capital gains on inherited property is the cost of the cost to the original owner on selling the property. So this is already taking into account the value of the inherited property that is, you know, acquired from the predecessor. So how will inheritance tax will make it any better?
The capital gain exists in all these other geographies where inheritance tax also applies, right? Like if you were in Korea, for example, you're paying both capital gain and then you're paying inheritance tax on top of that. A property can pass hands many times in its life cycle, maybe, you know, five times it can go from person A to person B to person C to person D. So my case for inheritance tax around properties, at the final time when A is leaving his wealth to his descendants, at that point you pay inheritance tax. I remember this interesting case of this, what's that guy's name, the Samsung guy. When the father died, the
Yeah.
child, he couldn't afford to pay the inheritance taxes, so he had to sell a lot of his company, right? You know, edge cases like that happen when this tax rate becomes too high. I think for him, the applicable rate was northwards of 50%. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting something like, you know, 10% or something like that to start off with.
I read you one of your initial tweets on inheritance tax, and you said that the higher revenue from this can be used instead of excessively taxing the income. So from that, the thoughts that I got were, will deferment of tax don't lead to income inequality? Because the main reason you're talking about inheritance tax is that it will reduce income inequality. But by reducing the income tax now, by deferring it, and you know, this inheritance tax is usually paid, as you said, once in generation. So we are actually deferring the tax collection on that by reducing the income tax on the income earned. So will that not lead to income inequality?
I personally think reducing taxes will lead to more people paying tax. Like I was giving you that Richard Nixon example, right? If you tell person A your tax rate is not 40% or 50% and it's only 20%, inherently his incentive to evade goes down by that much. And I feel like, you know, today if everybody in the country had a common tax rate of say 20% with very few subsidies, very few waivers, and maybe, you know, you add on top of that some kind of a rich tax of 5% or 10%, so they pay 25-30%. I feel like the tax collection overall will go up and people will not be so unhappy paying tax. Like, you know, I'll tell you a very personal example. When it comes to trading and investing, 80-90% of people, the turnover that happens in India happens from speculators. And these guys use an instrument called derivatives, right? They're either trading futures or options. Quite a few cases, they use this to kind of hedge their portfolio, to curtail risk, to build a more robust portfolio overall. And they pay 43% income tax on derivatives. And this is on top of having already paid STT, having already paid stamp duty, having already paid GST and a bunch of other taxes, which are not on income, but just transaction taxes per se. I think it's a big hindrance. It makes our market much less robust than it could be. It increases impact cost in India. I think the government collects maybe 15 or 20,000 crores a year in STT. For that amount, if they were to wave it off and kind of like, you know, let the markets thrive and more speculators are able to be profitable by virtue of that, we would see so much more foreign capital coming into India. Our ecosystem would become so robust. Like a trader today pays more in STT than he pays in brokerage and all other costs associated with trading. And it's totally, you know, a hindrance. I think lower taxes generally make ecosystems, lower tax rates make ecosystems more robust. And for capitalism to thrive in its true form, and I mean, you know, we claim to be a capitalistic democracy in many ways. And for that, I think lower tax rates, but more people paying tax is the only answer for India.
Sure. Our last question. If this inheritance tax is introduced in India, what do you think is the suitable threshold and the rate of tax?
I would assume something like 10 to 15% to begin with. I don't think it should be that much higher than that. See, you're rationalizing income taxes by maybe, you know, they're 20% lower or 25% lower than where they are today. And you know, like individual income tax is not the biggest pie. You know, corporate taxes are significantly higher when it comes to, I'm talking about government earnings overall. If you were to reduce the income tax levels by 20% to 25% and add maybe 10%, 15% inheritance tax and property tax, which is significantly higher than what it is today, that entire, you know, like all these things together, I think the net tax collection will be higher and people will be happier paying it as well.
Sure. If you can squeeze in one last question, you say that this tax may also encourage bringing in this tax and reducing the income tax may also encourage entrepreneurship in India. So, yeah, your last comments on that.
Yeah, I mean, totally. See, entrepreneurs at the end of the day, in one way or another, are chasing capital, right? And they're chasing building their own asset base, be it for their companies or as an individual. When you tell an entrepreneur you start a company and, you know, you grow a business, you hire all these people, you're productive in society, you do all of that and, you know, you pay effectively when you take out the money from the company you have created 53% in tax, it's a big disincentive. I don't know what the level is, you know, but if it goes to 60 or 65, somebody might be like, you know, why bother going through the journey if I have to pay 65% in tax? Right now it's 53. I don't think that encourages entrepreneurship. I think it's a big disincentive. And bringing that down considerably will probably allow for a lot more budding entrepreneurs to come about in the ecosystem.
Sure. That's all from our side, Nikhil. Thank you so much for sharing your Super. Views. Thank you Super. So much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week with a fresh episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me at neil.b@livemint.com. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us also on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.